Chris is going to talk about his experiences. Next week, we have a guest speaker who's a friend of ours, and he was the executive director of hospice for four counties in Kentucky, and just things that he learned, things that we should do, things that we shouldn't do, things we should say, things that we shouldn't say. And then the last week, then March 19th, we're going to be upstairs. And then the last week, my sister who said, oh, that's not healthy, she and her husband are going to be here. And they lost a son, an 18-year-old, to suicide. And so they're going to talk about, once again, things to do, things not to do, some of their experiences, so we can get some practical ideas and application around death and dying as we are in the midst of it as family, or as we support others through our friendship. Okay, so I'm done, and Chris is up.
All right, so they talked about death, and I'm the first one they pick. This is great. So that tells you a lot. I am. This week has been very, very tough. Long hours. So I feel my age. I got to get my glasses on. Uh-oh. Can't see a thing. So I've been a funeral director for 30 years, right out of high school. I graduated high school in 89, so I've been doing this for 30 years. And they go, wow, 30 years. Yeah, I'm 51, so that'll tell you a lot. Seen a lot, been through a lot, and helped people through a lot. And so what I want to talk about is the pitfalls. I mean, I did Amazing Grace 2 weeks ago. No, it's been longer than that. What? February 1st. And we went through about half of what we were going to talk about, me and Larry. I think we didn't get quite, I mean, he said we were going to be, 30 minutes, and it was 45, and that was pretty, it went by pretty quick. So if you haven't, I'll touch on some of the stuff that me and him talked about, but if you haven't seen that, it's something to, a little little informational maybe for you. Pull that up through Stories of Amazing Grace. What I do want to talk about is some of what Tina was saying, how it's not healthy to not have any type of service. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the ways, the gifts. The gift that you can give your family is pre-planning your own funeral. We're getting up in age where at least jot down notes, jot down something, give your family a pathway to what your desires are. Now, in the state of Tennessee, that doesn't mean that's what you're going to get, but it gives your families an opportunity.
What do you mean by that?
Because if I pre-need a funeral, pay it out, do everything, my son say, I'm not going to spend that money that you put away on a funeral. I'm going to cremate you. Well, they get the money back. So if it's $20,000 they got in a funeral plan and cremation is $2,000, they get $18,000 back. So I've seen that happen, and it does happen. It does happen because that people see $18,000 and go, hey, that's a new truck. Well, not now, but used to be. That's a Toyota truck with 321,000 miles on it, right? So nowadays it's not like it used to be, but it does happen. This point in life, your brother, your sister, your whoever, your father—it doesn't matter. This is the worst part, or one of the worst things that could happen in your life. And it brings out the worst in people. That's the reason I've taken a 2-year sabbatical of full-time being in the funeral industry, because 30 years of dealing with people's mess, I don't see how people can be a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I just don't see how you do it day in, day out. To listen to people and work through, especially a time like this, to work through their mess trying to take care of their loved one. It's bickering. It's in the one thing it's really about is greed, people's greed. Folks, it's just stuff. It's just stuff.
Right.
Aunt Mary's dish is not worth losing your family over.
Come on now, preach.
My mom passed away last March. She left us. She didn't leave us. She left my wife and my sister-in-law a bunch of dishes. We weren't fighting over them. We were fighting trying to give them to the other person. Well, it just her things would, you know, my mom's ideas wasn't what they would like. So it's just stuff like that. But anyway, what I'm getting at is you've got to put everything in perspective. Put everything in perspective. Do not let greed overcome your family. And it, I saw it day in and day out. Day in and day out. It's pitiful. I've had people not go to their parents' gravesite or funeral because they run to the house to try to get what they want. Okay? So put that in the back of your head. If that's the one thing you take away from today, is don't let greed get in the way of your family. Your family is more important. Okay, I messed it up. Did I? I knew I was going to do this. All right, so two different types of planning when you want to plan. You want to give your family a roadmap to do this, okay? That's one of the best gifts you can give your family is to pre-plan. And that's just writing down all the decisions that you've got to make in a funeral. From when someone passes away, that could be with hospice, institution, like hospital or nursing home, all the way through the burial or cremation or afterwards, okay?
Chris, that can also be like my brother-in-law decided not to go on life support. Stuff like that too, right?
Living will, yes. Living will, powers of attorney. I run into this without everybody. Oh, I got a power of attorney. What's that mean? It doesn't mean nothing after someone passes away. If you do have a question, you want to raise your hand and yell because I can't see, worth nothing. All right, we'll get to that in a second.
Just FYI, there's two different power of attorneys. You have a medical power of attorney and you have a financial power of attorney. You do not have the same person. You don't have to have the same person for each. You can have two different people.
Correct.
If not, one person will suffice. Power of attorneys will exponentially help you throughout taking care of someone. Every year, Paul and I took care of my aunt for 5.5 years with Alzheimer's. Every year I had to copy the power of attorney to the insurance company, to the doctor's office, to the, you know, whoever needed it, the place where we had her staying. If you don't have a power of attorney, to me it was almost more important than her will, you know, because of all the issues you run into.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how does that happen? When does that happen? When do you decide I need somebody to? And it basically means make decisions for me while I'm here.
Yeah. So what?
When they're alert and when they're competent, mm-hmm. not after they're diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Right. If they're not competent, they can't sign a piece of paper.
Right. Jeff and I actually talked about this morning. We are going to get a power of attorney for one another now, even though we hope we have many more years,
right.
As well as a medical and financial power of attorney, because it's just we went through some stuff with my mom and my stepfather where he wanted one thing and I wanted something else. She wanted something else, but since he was the husband, he got to do what he wanted to do.
That's sticky. When you have, for lack of a better term, stepfather, stepmother, whatever, they have all rights. The children do not have any rights to the right of disposition of their biological father or mother. The spouse does. So that is a good point. And it's not necessarily the power of attorney has to be a family member. I'm a power of attorney of several folks that don't trust their family. And they know that they trusted me well enough to know that I will, whatever's on that paper, that's what's going to happen. I have no emotional attachment to what they want.
What are the qualifications? Because you said attorney, that makes me feel like I gotta be educated.
Well, you need to be educated.
Durr.
If you're not educated, that's why you live in White House, right?
No, snap, Jimmy, where are you?
No, you don't have to be an attorney. What I was saying, an attorney is to get your living will done. You can go on LegalZoom and all this to get living wills, but there's terminologies and sections of a living will or a power of attorney that even attorneys leave out. I just helped a family last month that spent $15,000, and the attorney was one of the attorneys that wrote some of the elder law in Tennessee. and he left out a key phrase, key paragraph to what that family actually wanted. So we worked through that, but see, I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what you spend, you know, you sometimes you don't get what you ask for. So you really got to read through that.
Chris,
and be sure.
You don't think you have a protection.
Right.
My mother kept saying, you're my power of attorney, you're my power of attorney. I was her financial power of attorney,
right,
but not her medical power.
Let me address that right quick, because that's coming. Power of attorney, yes, you have a medical and you have a financial. And you have a dual power of attorney, means the one person is for both. So one person can be the medical, one person can be financial, they don't have to be family, or one person can be for both. That being said, people have the belief that, okay, that my power of attorney keeps on going after someone passes away. That power of attorney dies with the person. It is no longer. End of story. The only paragraph that lives on after the person has passed away is the paragraph that this attorney left out, that this person has the right of disposition, not the right to make funeral arrangements, not to the right to make funeral cremation arrangements for final disposition. It's the right to make decisions for my final disposition. Because what they did was, what the attorney did was put in, this person has the right for funeral decisions. Well, they want to be cremated. It's two different things. I've got to go by what the paperwork says. So I had to tell them, I'm sorry, but you cannot make these decisions because this says funeral. So you got to have a funeral for this person if you're going to be the decision maker. And a funeral means burial, embalming, casket, all these expenses. Okay? So that's that little wording we take as a funeral as any part of it. It's all encompassing, but it's not. Okay? So that being said,
what was the verbiage, Chris?
Final disposition. That means I can body donate.
Dispose of however. Okay.
Any means of that you want to be necessary. Funeral, burial, whatever, that traditional part, the cremation part, or body donation. Okay?
Okay, so Chris, would you clarify what is power of attorney, mm-hmm, living will, mm-hmm, and I guess the final disposition,
okay,
and as opposed to then the will that the person, the deceased, has written, has pre-written.
Yes.
There are some differences, and I'd clarify those, please.
Okay. A living will is, I don't want, it's called a DNR, do not resuscitate. Okay. That's what we call a DNR, do not resuscitate. You'll hear, if you go to, if I had a car wreck right now, and I was brain dead and whatever, and Heather, or if I had a DNR already signed it, then they would go by what I wish. Heather couldn't have a change that, okay? So that's what a living will does. That's when every time you go to the hospital, they say, do you have a living will? That's why they want to know that, because that's what trumps anybody's decision.
So that's either let me go or put me on life support.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
To I want artificial nutrients, feeding tube or whatever.
Okay.
I want life support. I don't want, if I'm not going to be able to, if I have hope of coming out of this at some point, a percentage, then yes, I want to be resuscitated. I want all means necessary as revival.
Okay. Course. How do you determine a percentage?
Well, they don't, I mean, it's, the doctors do that.
Can you do that, though?
Yeah, well, they say, the doctor goes, yeah, you got about 20%, or, you know, then you collaborate with the medical team.
Okay.
And so.
So if you're just knocked unconscious, can Heather at that point go, you know, my wishes? You know, Doc, I mean, if you want to turn the blind eye right here.
She could trip them as they run into the room. With the bag, yeah. And power. You said power. What'd you say?
Power of attorney, uh-huh, is for living. Living will is for last. The last
Last will, yeah, what your wishes are about yes.
Okay, so then after you die, what is the
will? The actual will, the will of testament.
Will. Okay.
The will of testament. And that's another thing. People put in the right of disposition or whatever, and they put it in the will of testament. Well, that's too late. You read that months later. So you're a little late. The will is for how you're going to divvy up everything. What is that person's last wishes for their earthly materialistic things? How things are going to give it. Now, if you don't have a will, in the state of Tennessee, I believe the spouse's automatic percentage is a third. Okay? They're automatically going to get a third. I don't care if you're estranged, but if you're still married, they get a third no matter what. I hear people, oh, they left me out of the will. And all you got to do is put, Johnny, you're a black sheep of the family. You get a dollar. You know, that's how they negate that issue. So they can't contest that. Or if they put in there, you know, if Johnny contests his dollar, then he don't get a thing.
Who's in competition with this stuff? Just your immediate family?
Whoever.
Does it get in your cousin, your aunts, and your uncles?
No, I've been called. I mean, to Miss Smith. Miss Smith wanted to leave Lynn, you know, a car. Well, Miss Smith, he's not even kin to Miss Smith.
Right.
So he gets a letter from the attorney. Goes, hey, we're gonna read Miss Smith's will on January the 2nd. At 2:00, and we need your presence. So if you ever get a letter like that, you're about to get something. You're about to get something, and that family is not going to be happy with you, okay? Because you're getting something that Junior thought he was getting. All right, so if you ever get a letter from an attorney that says, hey, we need you to be present at a will reading, you're about to get something.
I think of that
you
movie.
You still get it, but if you don't make it, then they can fight. It comes back to greed. Greed. They will fight you over $1.50.
Gran Torino, that movie reminds me in the end of that kind.
What else did you say?
You covered all the things I was talking about.
Power of attorney. Oh, power of attorney. Let me get to that. Power of attorney, medical means they've wrote out your wishes. They've kind of wrote out their wishes and signed, hey, I want this person to carry it out. These are the people that sign saying, don't resuscitate me. Don't, or do this or do that. Medical. All right? The financial part is all about, okay, they have the right to pay my bills. They have a right to sell and buy stock. They have the right to take everything financially that I would normally take care of on a normal basis. They're going to take care of all that stuff financially. They have a right to, they have the power to sign my checks and all that. Now, if someone's a power of attorney on financial, if you're a signer on an account, that's all you can do is sign. If you are on the account, then you're just like the person that's their funds, and then you can conduct business. Okay? Jeff deals with this a lot. Anybody else, financial, insurance, whatever is in. So if I say something wrong, correct me.
Okay, Jeff. So Chris, then you end up with someone who's called the executor of the will.
The executor, so the executor of the estate.
Okay, that's their belongings that are left, right?
The executor or the executrix of the estate is the kind of like the power of attorney, but after death. They are, make sure everything is done, sell the house, sell this, whatever they want in this will set out, they make sure that the will is executed the way the person wants. Just like the power of attorney, medical power of attorney, or the financial power of attorney. Just the executor or executrix of the estate is, they make sure that estate is settled according to the person's wishes.
Mm-hmm. And so when my mom was dealing with this, and I was dealing with a stepfather that fought me on everything, mm-hmm. Mother told me 2 days before she died to go and take care of the funeral. So I left the hospital, or left the nursing home, went and did all the funeral arrangements, wrote a check because I knew my time for power of attorney would be done.
Yes.
And so then there was that period of time of several weeks before I was appointed as executrix of the estate.
Right.
And I had to go to set a time, go to court and all that kind of stuff, do that. So the best thing, and Mother did have it, I just didn't realize she had it, she had me on the account to write checks.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, there would have been like 30 days where bills couldn't be
paid. They usually lock you out 45 days.
Yeah.
The account gets locked down for 45 days. And then when you're named the executor or executrix of the estate, you go back to the bank with that letter from the judge, and they open up what they call an estate checking account.
Hello. When I did my will, they told me to have an executor be someone who didn't have any, I guess, basically any interest in anything.
It's kind of like a conservator. You can, if you don't trust your family.
Well, I think because I have minor children.
Yes. Because he doesn't have, right, because he may not make the decision that's best for those children. That's what they're guarding against is the children. They're guarding against the children. They don't care about, that's what they're talking about. Uh-huh.
Now, when, I'm sorry. When,
we got different people talking different ways, and I got to do something.
When my parents lined all this up, they did the funeral arrangement 15 or 20 years before before they died.
Yep.
And they did things a little differently. There's four kids. They did, and I don't remember which order it was. Me as the, I think I was the one that could tell if, I wasn't the financial one. My sister was the financial one. I was the second to her, and I was the second one the first one when they die, when they're in the hospital making medical decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the executors was me and my sister.
Correct.
And we had equal...
Equal authority.
Equal authority.
But you had to have both signatures to make any decision.
Exactly. Yeah.
Y'all must have fought.
I hope you got a few weeks.
I'm just kidding.
It
greed. Greed. I'm telling you, it's all about greed.
And my mom and dad, and it's not that they didn't trust the other two sisters.
They're just making sure.
But they knew that me and Peggy would make sure that things go the way they wanted it.
Right.
So.
You're hard-headed, which is good. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so will you go back to, so I'm the POA for my mother,
mm-hmm.
who has Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Power of attorney. For my mother who has Alzheimer's.
Medical or financial or dual?
Both.
Okay.
So go back to what you said, though. When she dies, they're going to shut down her account. So can you just
when they find out, when the bank finds out.
Which they will know because she goes to church with the owner.
Unless
I am on the account.
Then it won't shut down. You're fine. If you are on the account, if you are an account holder, if you're on the account with her as the account holder,
yes.
Then they can't shut it down.
So... this is for y'all to know because we did not know this. Okay, she does have Alzheimer's, but it is pretty mild. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still is. No, it depends on the day.
Yeah.
But here's what we wish we had done now,
mm-hmm.
because my mother is still on the account. What we wish we had done is made it all in my name, because now, even though she's not in her right mind, she can call the bank and say, I'm going to come withdraw $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And she can.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know that she withdrew $1,000, and she
mm-hmm.
will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we kind of wish we had done, I don't know what you can even do with that. I'm just telling anybody who's got this, that's been a nightmare for us. Like, we've had to call everybody in Dixon, literally, and say, do not take mom to the bank. Do not.
Well,
do not,
you can. You depend. Okay, so I was going to get to relationships, but we're running out of time very quickly, about relationships with your banker. You know, everybody, it's very important to have a relationship with your banker. It's very important to have relationships with your funeral director, okay? And this day and time, that's kind of hard, but like in Dixon, Cheatham County, wherever, the smaller towns, it's a very important relationship, because just like that situation, they can say, well, I'm not going to follow the law, wink, wink, on that part, because it doesn't make common sense, because she's taking $1,000. The banker can do that. Usually the banker will say, okay, we understand. And they don't.
They try not to, but when she's adamant and she's on the account, I mean,
I would talk to her. I would talk to him since you are her POA, financial POA. You can, you should be able to, with that relationship, sign saying she can't, she can come off the account. She, because you can take care of the financial part to take her off the account.
We can, but then all of her, you know, her retirement, everything, we have to change all that, and it's just a nightmare. Okay. So that,
what,
I mean,
what I did was I got him a separate bank account. So
yeah. And he didn't have access to that other one.
If he withdraws all $500,
we did that, and then she would transfer accounts.
She's smart. She's smart.
One thing I was going to point out when you were talking about kids, a lot of people don't know that there's a similar thing with guardianship. You can have a guardian that is who takes care of them, who provides for them, who they live with, whatever, but you can also have a separate financial guardian.
Conservator.
That mm-hmm. handles all of that for them. So if you right. have a family member that is the most loving, caring, kind, but they cannot make good financial decisions, you can split
where they
that
don't
up.
Blow the money. Yeah, so you, there's different aspects. You can appoint people to different aspects of, there's always a financial side to everything. Then you have guardianship and you have this and that. There's always a financial side you can have separate, because that person that has no emotional attachment to it, and then you can trust, can, just like he's talking about, yeah, you, I mean, your budget is this every month. That's all you got to take care of those children, you know. Or if something emergency comes out, okay, yeah, I'll approve that, we'll pay that. But that's an important part of the of that.
I don't, I guess it's home. One thing addressing to what Shannon said too, even if you know your banker, and they put all kinds of notes on the computer, mm-hmm. it does not matter, because all it takes, and you all know when you call the bank, you're not talking to down the street. You're talking to whoever Bank of America answers
yeah.
the phone in whatever state mm-hmm. and yeah, or country. And my aunt berated them enough, even though there are all kinds of notes, and I don't know if they didn't pay any attention. She felt like I was stealing all of her money, blah, blah, blah. So she finally got a hold of somebody who had listened to her. And the day after she passed, we got paperwork in the mail where she was trying to take me off of everything that she had. But she didn't have enough sense to know that all of her mail came to my house. So luckily, I mean, I would have intercepted it anyway, but she passed the day before. But you can't bank on knowing your banker.
Well, in a small town, what I was referring to.
Yeah.
So just this little bit in the last 3 minutes, see how complex this issue is?
It's so complex.
It's very complex. That's why you should really talk about this well in advance of when something happens. Because how stressful this can be. If someone, you just found out his brother passed away unexpectedly, and then his sister-in-law had to make all these decisions on what to do. It's very stressful. And so it's a great gift to pre-plan, to write all these decisions down, to talk about it. It's going to take you a lot of weeks to go through every aspect, financial planning, to making the decision of what kind of service you want. And there's multitudes of choices there, from traditional, okay, then what funeral home we're going to use. What cemetery we're going to bury in? We're going in the ground. We're going in the mausoleum. Why did we choose that funeral home? Give you the example, Spring Hill. I'm just going to use funeral homes that I'm familiar with that are around this church building. Spring Hill, to walk in their doors, $8,000. That's not including the casket or anything. That's just the services part right now. Forest Lawn is $9,000, almost $10,000 to walk in their door without. Forest Lawn right now, I'm just going to give you packages because that's how they're selling these days.
Is it like just doing a memorial service?
For a traditional funeral, if you're like embalming, hearse, visitation.
Okay.
So the least expensive package that Forest Lawn sells right now is $18,000. That's not including the cemetery.
Right.
That's another 10. Okay?
They're going to want payment.
Exactly. They're going to want payment. Well, and it's a business transaction. Do not ever take that lightly. It is a business. That's all this is to me, is the business transaction. okay? When you walk in the door, after you make all the arrangements, yeah, I like this and I like that, and it comes up to $20,000. Ms. Jones, we take cash, a good check, credit card, or an insurance, a insurance assignment, approve. Yeah, we can prove that we can verify. So if you're making arrangements on a Saturday, guess what? They can't verify it on Monday. Okay? So on an insurance policy. Now, on an insurance policy, yes, if it's $50,000, it's 20, you can do an assignment. What that means is you're assigning $20,000 of that 50 to the funeral home, and then the insurance company will send you $30,000. Okay? They'll split it for you. But they're going to want payment before you walk out that door. If you don't give them payment in full before you walk out that door, you don't set your funeral, you don't set that visitation or funeral time until you come up with the money. It's kind of like going to Kroger. Kroger don't let you out the door on, I'll pay you in 30 days, or I'm sorry, I can't write a check because mama's account's tied, locked now, and I'm, you know, I wasn't on the account, and so can I come back in 30 days and pay you for that milk and eggs? You don't go to, I mean, you just, it doesn't happen anymore. It's a business transaction. Back 30 years ago when I got into the business, yeah, we'd give anybody 30 days. Yeah, well, you can come back and write me a check for 30 days.
Going back to the bank account, I was on my dad's bank account when he died. And after he had died, he had his will and stuff was in one of his lock boxes at the bank. I went to the bank to get the will out. And when they found out when they knowed he had died, I had to have somebody go in there with me, get the will out, and then lock the box back up. I couldn't get anything else out of the box. And all the accounts that we were both on had to be transferred over to an estate account. So just because I was on his account with him didn't mean I could just go in there and get whatever I needed to get out of it.
After he passed.
All right. There's other things that I was wanting to get to, but we're kind of out of time. But if I could tell you anything, don't wait. Just because you have cemetery lots at somewhere at a certain funeral home, certain cemetery and they have a funeral home on it, don't mean you automatically call that funeral home when someone passes away, because it's kind of like buying a gallon of milk at Shell Station or Kroger. At Kroger, it's $2.50. At the Shell Station, it's $5. It's a convenience factor, and that's what they're expecting. That's why all these corporations have bought up these funeral homes these cemeteries with funeral homes on it, because that's what they're banking on. Because nobody shops or compares their funeral industry.
That's right. I mean, you got to make a quick decision, right?
Yep.
One thing over all these years that I've heard you talk about the most that I'd love for you to share with them is explain, I come to you, my mom dies, she has a pre-need at Spring Hill, doesn't mean I have to go to Spring Hill, correct?
Right. Correct.
And explain how that works.
So if you have a pre-arrangement with XYZ funeral home paid for, it's a life insurance policy. That's what you have. You've got an increasing benefit life insurance policy that can be taken to anybody. Whoever provides those services and goods claims on that policy. Okay? So if you have a pre-need at XYZ, then you move away, or you don't like that funeral home anymore, or whatever reason, you want to go down the street. You take that policy to them, and I've never heard any funeral home in their right mind saying, okay, I turned down $15,000 or $10,000. What we call service that policy.
On that same thing, mom and dad, like I said, had that all set up through Roselawn, and we went ahead and used Roselawn because they already had paid for the mausoleum part of that.
Right.
And stuff that we did not use because it, especially, for mom and dad, we didn't use a hearse, which they had already paid for. we didn't use this, we didn't use that, which you already paid for. The estate got that money back. And so with mom, COVID hit, and there was a lot of things that we didn't use. The only thing we kept was the room, so that a year later we had her services, and that's the only thing. Other than they were cremated. Other than the urn that we got money back on, we paid for those two items, and that was pretty much it.
So, sounds like they pre-planned for a traditional burial, but did cremation instead.
No, they planned for the cremation.
Okay.
But they had also with that planning, you rented a casket.
Right.
You rented this. You rented.
So you had what they had was a viewing, a traditional funeral.
For viewing, yeah.
But cremation as their final disposition. Okay, and you can do that. And not necessarily just because Granny 20 years ago pre-needed or pre-funded a funeral, doesn't mean they changed their mind, now I want to do cremation. I see that a lot. And the family gets their money back. What I was talking about earlier was just greed, people just doing it just for the heck of it.
Well, Chris, there's a lot of predatory events that happen with funeral things. And my dad was at Woodlawn, and because of some of the things that we dealt with there, I would never take it.
It's all about sales. They're trying to make as much money as possible.
On you, because they'll say, like, you know, you want this biggest vault because you don't want any water, and I'm just a very cut and dry black and white person. But you know, with mom, we had already done with somewhere in Brentwood where we were from. But I'm just gonna say a thing about Chris. When my brother died, we used Chris, and I cannot tell you how. And we didn't fight over any dishes, did we?
No, I don't guess. I don't remember.
The only problem was poor old Mac almost dropped the casket. But I mean, he was so professional. And again, you have to have that relationship with somebody, because there are predatory people out there.
Yeah, you need to trust your funeral home.
Another thing too is, I mean, we had a funeral prepaid for it at Woodland. We had the ground to be buried in. We chose cremation. Just even burying the urn cost, like, to pull the backhoe, I mean, I don't know, $6,000. To transfer the body cost us a lot of money. It's like, it's a racket.
Yeah, just plan. I just tell you to plan. That's my biggest advice is plan ahead. Plan ahead. So there's pros and cons to every industry, and there's good apples and bad apples in every industry. Just know who you're dealing with. That's one of my bullet points is know who you're dealing with, know who owns the funeral home or funeral establishment. Just do your homework. We'll take 2 months trying to save $100 on a refrigerator. Shop around, and we'll drive 5 miles and save a nickel on a gallon of gas. At the time it's all said and done, you save a dollar, but you drive 10 miles to save a dollar. But we won't take a little time to save thousands of dollars. And they're dealing with your loved one. How sacred is that? So give it a little more thought then. Well, I've got cemetery lots at XYZ. I'll just use their funeral home. Because when you do that, just go ahead and just open your checkbook and push it across the table and say, fill it out how you want it. Because that's what's going to happen. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, that's what's going to happen. Okay? Because they are there. I mean, I'm going to give you an example. Everybody knows it. Mr. George Jones that passed away, he was at Woodlawn. The cemetery counselor sold Miss Jones 30-something grave spaces. You know why she bought them? Because it was a good investment, is what he told her. How crazy is that? At $8,000, $10,000 a pop.
Hey, I can make her laugh at that.
The point is, they're trying to say you something, and they picked a vulnerable time for you to not make a clear decision. A lot of times people make decisions that sound right when you're in the stressful time of your life, at that point. 2 months later, you go, what in the crap did I, what was I thinking? Well, one, you weren't, okay? And that's what it's all about. You weren't thinking. That's why I had to plan ahead, okay? So we're done. We're over time. I've got more, but if you want, I mean, we can have a little seminar one sometime that can give that and give more information, kind of have a little school or class or whatever you want to call it to do that, just to be informed. There's a lot to be informed about.
Thank you.
especially about hospice. I hope they tell you how much hospice can help and help you with up to 6 months or longer before someone passed away if you know that's going to happen. They are a big help. They can support you in a lot more ways than you think.
Thank you so much.
Strip him down if you would. thank you, Chris. And it is very important to get have a relationship with your banker and your funeral director. And when you're doing stuff like that, also the only thing that I've seen in the real estate business is to make sure that in a power of attorney that it's actually the one thing we've seen is it just don't say you can sell the house. You have to put the address of the house or houses that you want that person to be able to sell, because once they just say just generally house or real estate or something like that, some title attorneys getting closing will not write a title policy on that. So anyway, and then of course after the fact in a will, after the fact, that's it's too late to you still do it. It's just going to jump. You have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Anybody have any prayer request? Aaliyah Brooks. Aaliyah Brooks was a freshman at Liberty Creek. This past Friday, they were out of school. Sumner County was out of school. A lot of the counties were out of school because of the threat of storms that were coming through. And there were kind of two waves. After the first wave came through, she and her family went out and were picking up limbs and stuff, just kind of cleaning up the yard. And I don't know if it was just another wave that came through or another big gust of wind came through and it blew a limb off of a tree and hit her in the back of the head. And she was over some concrete and it hit her face in the concrete, and she ended up passing away on Saturday. So she's still on life support, but they're donating her organs. So they're having the walk at 7:15 tonight. So willing to keep that family in our prayers. So tough. Just a little 15-year-old sweet girl who I'm listening to one side of a conversation that Shannon keeps talking to people on the other teachers on the phone, and that she said that she would. I don't know if I'll get through this. She was on a cheerleading team, and there was a truckload of cheerleaders on Liberty Creek's team, and she was telling them that I'm so thankful that I'm on this team. I don't even know this girl. But that she was telling the other girls who were older than her, I pray for each one of you every day. I'm so individually by name. So just to have her talk to all these teachers about what's going on, it's affected me.
Different things, but it's beautiful. But she said, when discussing or when having trials and tribulations or whatever, to inhale faith and exhale fear. And that's where that is coming from. And I thought, she is 15, the day of her tragedy, those were her words. And it's just beautiful. So I don't know. It's terrible.
Anybody else?
Praise.
Good.
Tumor removed, they got the pathology back, and everything's clear. There's no cancer. So that's a huge praise.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Anybody else? Rosie in Puerto Rico? She's not woken up yet? Okay. Right here. It's a wonderful pencil. Yeah. Anybody else? All right. The only, and he's here today, the only birthday that we have that's coming up this week, Mr. Mark Hayes, is on the 10th. Is that correct? So quickly. Yeah, you come on down front.
Come on.
Hurry up. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. I mean, we don't do this to anybody else. This is just a Mark Hayes thing. Although, as slow as you're walking, we may.
It may be his birthday.
Yeah, yeah. It may be the 10th time you get down here. Since you're the only one, and you are Mark Hayes, I mean, you are John Hayes' son. That's the reason you're here. That's the reason you're up here, and we're just going to make this a special something.
Why did we give him
a Because, hey, he's the one that pulled out, bring you up here. All right, here we go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And then Chris is going to lead us in a prayer. Ready? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
There you go. What are you going to be? What are you going to be? 57? 58?
42.
Uh-huh. Chris, that was excellent today. We will have you back in Sunday school or a class or a seminar or something. Yeah. There you go.
Let's pray. Father God, we just are grateful that we can call you Father. Thank you for wanting us to be your children. Father, we are grateful that you gave your ultimate gift of sending your son to this cruel earth and to die that horrific death. Thank you for not letting him change his mind. Father, we lift up to you some folks that are heavy on our hearts today, and Aaliyah Brooks' family, Father, God, who knows what they're going through with this tragedy with their child. I think that's one of the worst things that could ever happen to us as parents, is a tragedy to one of our children. Father, just send your Holy Spirit to comfort them. Send friends and family around them to support them each and every day. Let them know they're loved by you and by their family and their friends. And Father, let them lean upon you to go through this troubling times. Father, be with the family of Rosie in Puerto Rico, that she may somehow come out of this health issues of having strokes or a coma that she's in. And Father, by you healing her, that could be a sign to those people in Puerto Rico that don't know you, that we're trying to reach for your glory, that maybe you would be glorified in that situation, and Father, that they could realize you're the healer. Be with us today as we go our separate ways, Father. Let us keep in mind that you are our Savior, that you are riding and walking with us every step we take. Father, we want to praise you. We want to give all glory to you. But Father, in Taylor's situation, that it looked grim for a long time, that you have pulled him through, and he is cancer-free right now in remission. Father, we know all good things come from you, and that you are the one we need to look to each and every day. Forgive us when we do wrong. Father, forgive us as we forgive others, and may we forgive others many foe over. People that sin against us and transgression against us, may we forgive and love them as you love us. Give us this week that we may glorify you and spread the good word of yours, and let us be an example in the way we live, not just as we talk. Jesus' name, amen.
Make sure y'all have a great week. We do have a lot of classes coming up. We've got a good calendar coming up the next couple of months. But if you are wanting to speak at any time, we're going to try to start to collect some of those for later on. Thank you.